You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. FWA Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Hello, everyone. Good to have you with us. Welcome along to the FWA podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner here in the studio. And every single week we get one of the best sport writers in the land to talk to us about football. And this week, no different. We've got Jim White from The Telegraph on the line right now. First of all, a warm welcome. Good morning, Jim.
Thank you very much, Dave.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm very good, thank you. Yes, excellent.
We'll start, unfortunately, for the Scots people listening out there. We'll have to talk about Euro 2016 because, unfortunately for Scotland, the only home nation not to qualify, it should be a fantastic, fantastic event for the home nations out there. And the Republic of Ireland, the latest nation to book their plane ticket.
Absolutely brilliant performance by the Irish. They looked, when the draw came out, they looked at the very bottom of the cycle. They looked at a very low ebb. And certainly people would have favoured Scotland to qualify ahead of them. But for them to come out of that group was a marvellous achievement. And to beat Bosnia, no small achievement that either. Bosnia were in the last World Cup. They've got class players like Dzeko and Begovic in the side. It was a really terrific turnaround by Martin O'Neill. And you look at the players he's got, it's not the most talented bunch of players ever to come together for an international squad, but he's made them better than the sum of their parts, which is the real trick of good management.
80-1 they are, the Republic of Ireland, to triumph in France in 2016. England, Jim, in the market at 11-1. Emotional friendly against France the other night at Wembley after the atrocities in Paris on Friday night. It was always going to be difficult for those French players to get up for the game and to be highly keyed for that encounter. But I think some of England's players, it was crucial for the younger players to perform in that friendly just to give notice to Roy Hodgson that they were ready for international football.
Yes, it was not really anything that we can say gave us a marker for next summer because, as you pointed out, the French were definitely distracted by the horrible events in the capital. Several of them were personally touched by it. As we know, Lassana Diarra lost his cousin in it. Griezmann's sister escaped from the Bataclan nightclub. So clearly, they weren't at their best, the French. England, however, I thought performed really admirably. And what it gave was a sort of optimistic thought about what lies ahead for England. You know, Dele Alli's performance was magnificent. So was Eric Dier's. There's real possibilities and real choices in England. We shouldn't get too carried away, obviously, with Dele Alli's goal-scoring performance, because after all, Andros Townsend, a certain Spurs youngster, did brilliantly on his introduction to England and hasn't kicked on from there. So it doesn't necessarily imply that we've got a new superstar in waiting for next summer. But what it does do is give Roy Hodgson optimism that he's got real strength in depth, which I don't think many predicted even a year ago.
If you were picking a team to win Euro 2016 right now, Jim, obviously a long time until the championships, who would you go for?
Well, that's a really difficult question because there's so many injuries at the moment. You know, players that you would want to put in the squad, like Walcott, like Wilshere, like Sturridge, just are barely playing at the moment. And therefore, others come into contention who are probably more likely to make it. And Dele Alli has definitely marked the card there. The big question, I still think, is around whether you put Wayne Rooney in the starting 11. The point about Rooney is this is a very young squad. It's probably, I think on Friday, it was the youngest England team that had played for a very long time. And I suppose you do need Rooney in there as the wise old head. And he is a very, very good captain. He's a very good ambassador. And I suppose you have to say, well, his performances on the field may not be as exciting as they once were, but you need him in the background just to make this squad of youngsters gel.
and looking at this from an outsider's perspective, Jim, I find it difficult to envision a scenario where Roy Hodgson doesn't play Wayne Rooney at France in 2016.
I think Rooney will definitely be there for all those reasons of experience and knowledge, and also to give him the challenge to rise back to that form. Remember, it was at the Euros that he really exploded onto the public consciousness, the Euros of 2004, where he was a young 18-year-old and quite sensational in that tournament. And we thought at that point he was going to become, you know, a world superstar on a level with Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez and Cristiano Ronaldo. For whatever reason, he's been a superb servant to English football, but he's not kicked on to that kind of level. And I suppose, you know, this is his last chance to do that, to remind us what a player he could be.
Thank you, Jim. As always, we spin through the live televised matches for the weekend, and we've got Premier League back this weekend, and the action starts at 12:45 on Saturday. Watford taking on Manchester United. Watford 100-30 to win this match, the draw 9-4, and Manchester United just slight odds on here with William Hill at 10-11. Manchester United, Jim, haven't conceded a goal since CSKA Moscow scored against them in the Champions League. That was six games ago. However, you get the feeling they're still enduring this transitional period under Louis van Gaal. And I use the word enduring because I think the fans get slightly irritated with the lack of flair they're playing with. And they're used to seeing Manchester United teams play with a fearlessness. And that's not quite there with this team at the moment.
Functional, stodgy, rather dull is what you get when you watch Manchester United these days, which are three words that you would never have used or associated with the club under Alex Ferguson. The question for United fans is whether Van Gaal, having reorganised them to the point where they've become hard to beat, is going to graft on that edge of seat excitement. I mean, I think that's what we're all waiting for in the stands, to see that kind of explosion of excitement. One thing you can say, I don't know what the odds are on a nil-nil draw, is United don't concede very many goals. They've got a superb goalkeeper. Chris Smalling is an excellent centre-back. They're not easy to get past Morgan Schneiderlin in the centre of midfield. So they're not easy to beat. However, I don't think we can put down this one as a high-scoring draw. I don't think you'll be looking at 3-3 as somewhere to put your money.
Yeah, at a 0-0 looks like it could be a solid bet there. 15-2 if you fancy a 0-0. And, of course, you can play on the goals as well. Under 2.5 goals is as short as 4-7, which tells you all you need to know about the way Manchester United are performing recently. What have you made to Watford in the season so far, Jim, under Kike Flores?
Well, I've been very, very impressed. I mean, it seems to me, if you look at it objectively, that you couldn't have less conducive conditions to run a football club in the Premier League than Flores arrived at. They've got this new model, financial model, of selling on the team en masse every summer and completely changing it. He came in with something like 14 players gone and had to completely change around the squad. And he's done it absolutely brilliantly. Troy Deeney is a very important player for them. He's that marker of continuity. He's the captain. And, you know, although he's not scoring as many goals as he did in the Championship, he's creating and helping them along. And I think that Flores has recognised his importance, and I've been very impressed by Flores as a manager. I think he's tactically and in the way he deals with the media demonstrated that he's a man on the march.
That's Watford versus Manchester United, which is the lunchtime kickoff on Saturday. The tea time kickoff, Man City versus Liverpool. 8-13 odds on here, Manchester City, Jim. The draw is 3-1, and Liverpool in the market at 9-2. In recent history, this has been quite an entertaining fixture. Both teams have scored in the last six meetings between the sides in the Premier League, and there's a feeling of optimism now with Liverpool, with Jurgen Klopp at the helm. Crystal Palace did dish Klopp his first defeat recently in the Premier League, but I think they'll go to Manchester City and have a go on Saturday evening.
Yes, this is in many ways the Raheem Sterling testimonial game, isn't it? This is this is the point where Sterling has to prove that he made the right decision to go. And he might cast slightly envious glances over at the dugout and see the new occupant there and think, what might have been if I'd stayed? But he didn't. And actually, I think he fits brilliantly into the City lineup. I think he really, you can see why Manuel Pellegrini wanted him at City. He just gives a balance to their attack, which is really good. And once David Silva's back, having Sergio Aguero up front, Sterling, Silva and De Bruyne, that is a real classy front four. Unfortunately for City, two of that component is injured at the moment, and that may be the reason why Klopp will be going with slightly more optimism than they might otherwise have.
Man City 8-13 to win the match. The draw 3-1. Liverpool 9-2. Do you fancy City to still beat Liverpool on Saturday night, then, Jim?
Yes, I do. I think City, they're difficult to overcome at the Etihad. They've got a purpose. They've got a very, very strong squad. And Liverpool, yeah, they're getting better under Klopp, but there's still a long way to go.
Yeah, and they've been given a boost with Daniel Sturridge. His comments this morning suggesting that he's hoping to play on Saturday night at the Etihad.
Yeah, well, Sturridge is someone who made the journey the other way. He was a Manchester City player when he was a youngster. I don't know, Sturridge, he's an interesting character. How much of this injury issue is in the head, I don't know. He seems to be the most unlucky player ever, if it isn't in the head, because he's constantly got these injury problems. And I think it's a real challenge for Klopp, because Sturridge is such a great player. If he can get a full season out of him, it's going to make a big difference to how he progresses.
On to Tottenham versus West Ham. Tottenham 8-15 to win this match. The draw 3-1, and West Ham in the market at 5-1. These two sides, Jim, locked together on 21 points in the league. Tottenham have been superb, in my opinion, under Mauricio Pochettino. Their performance against Arsenal in that most recent Premier League match a couple of weeks ago was excellent for long periods. And unfortunately, they did concede to Kieran Gibbs late on in that match. He nipped in for the equaliser. But Pochettino, in my opinion, Jim, doing a fantastic job with the young squad that he's got at Spurs.
Pochettino is now England's best hope, isn't he? He seems to be producing young English players who are coming through into the international ranks. Players like Dyer, like Ali, like Kane, and you know, England absolutely needs Pochettino to keep firing at Spurs. West Ham go there playing brilliantly this season, but I think they're really missing Dimitri Payet. I think he was the conjurer who changed them from a slightly stodgy side under Sam Allardyce into a real progressive attacking side. Unfortunately, he's out for 3 months. I think that's a really big loss for them, in a way that Spurs might be able to cope with one of their better players going out because they've got that deeper squad. I don't think West Ham can, so I'd back Spurs for this one.
He has been instrumental, hasn't he, Payet? I mean, he's been pulling the strings in that midfield and not only scoring the goals, providing them as well. And for 3 months out for him, that will really test Slaven Bilic and his management style, I think.
Yes, and Payet was a player who was on the radar of a lot of big clubs for a long time. And people have seen surprise that he went to West Ham. But I think that demonstrates the huge financial buying power that the kind of mid-table, mid-ranking Premier League clubs now have because of the broadcasting deal, that a player of Payet's renown can go to a place like West Ham. In the past, a player like him would have only been attracted over by Chelsea or Arsenal. The fact that West Ham can now buy in that market is making a real difference to the Premier League, and I think that's one of the reasons why it has become much more unpredictable.
A Spurs win then, Jim, do you expect it to be comfortable?
No, I think it'll be close, but I do think Spurs will come out on top. The thing about Spurs is, as you've mentioned, Pochettino has got them very, very organised. If you watch Spurs, they're very similar to Southampton under Pochettino. They don't just close down opposition. When the opposition have got the ball, the nearest Spurs man doesn't just kind of close down the space to the man who's got possession. He absolutely sprints at him. It must be an exhausting process being a Spurs player. They are constantly running. Harry Kane must do more sprinting practice than Usain Bolt. It's quite incredible how much work they put in on a pitch.
Tottenham to win the game 8-15 here with William Hill. If you fancy Tottenham just to win by the one goal in this game, that's in the market at 13-5. And Jim, we finished the Premier League weekend with Crystal Palace versus Sunderland. Palace 8-15, the draw 3-1, and Sunderland in the market at 5-1. This fixture was actually on Monday night last season as well. I expected Sunderland to be a little bit tighter than they were against Everton at home against Southampton. Still beaten though, Jim, and Sam Allardyce, this is the most difficult task of his managerial career, to keep Sunderland, a team with little in the way of personnel in terms of quality in this league.
Big Sam's biggest problem is that Sunderland only play Newcastle twice a season. It seems to be the only game they can win. They're just not good enough. And going to Palace, they can only, you know, Palace are a very organised team under Alan Pardew. They've added very well to a good core of players that they've had for a while. And I just can't see any other result. I saw them against Newcastle live, and they weren't very good, yet they won largely due to Newcastle's own failings. Mm. And Palace haven't got the kind of failings that Newcastle demonstrated. So I can see only one winner there.
Crystal Palace to win the game 8-15, the draw 3-1, and Sunderland in the market at 5-1. Jim, a pleasure speaking to you this morning. Thank you for joining us on the William Hill FWA podcast, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future, Jim.
Thanks very much indeed, Dave.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.